Now, the worship service of Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in Avon, New York. Pastor Keith Griswold. Welcome to worship with the Avon United Methodist Church.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to worship today. Glad to have you all with us. We want to begin with announcements.
I just wanted to announce that on December 17th at 7:30, the Genesee Valley Children's Choir is going to put on a concert here at our church. So if you're looking for something to get you in the Christmas spirit and could come and support them, it would be awesome. They'll be here in the church Saturday night doing their concert, and then they've agreed to sing for us in our service on Sunday morning, December 18th.
I see no other hands going up, so I would ask if we could to prepare our hearts and our minds to enter into this time of prayer. And we're going to welcome those who have come online and those who are joining us on the radio this morning as we begin our service. Gracious God, Almighty Father, we turn to you this day and we pray for your Spirit to be poured out upon us who have gathered here, but all of your people, Lord, who come to worship you. To give you the glory and the praise that you are due. To give you our thanks for your love and your grace poured out in our lives through your Son, Jesus. Lord, those who are in need today for peace and comfort in their lives, for those who grieve, may your Spirit walk alongside them and comfort them. For those, Lord, who are sick, who are injured, bring healing and health and wholeness. Lord, we give you our thanks and our praise this day. Be with us in a special way as we worship you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Join us in the hymn, Come, Thou Long Expected Jesus, and then remain standing as we pray together. Let us pray together. God of mercy and compassion,
Scripture says that if we draw near to you, you will draw near to us. In a shadowy world where human weakness and weariness reside, we ask for you to draw near and dispel the darkness around us. May the light of this season illuminate our hope, strengthen steadfast endurance as we await the coming Savior. We pray this in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Isaiah wrote his book around 700 years before the birth of Christ. His purpose in writing his book was to call the nation of Judah back to God and to tell them of God's salvation through the Messiah. The chapter prior to today's reading speaks of the Assyrians invading Judah, but Assyria would be like a tree cut down at the height of its power, never to rise again. However, Judah, the royal line of David, would be like a tree chopped down to a stump. But from that stump, a new branch will grow, the Messiah. He will be much greater than the original tree and would bear much fruit. The Messiah is the fulfillment of God's promise that a descendant of David would rule forever. Listen to today's reading from Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, and his roots, a branch, will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the spirit of counsel and of might, the spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the axe. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the water covers the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for all peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. This has been God's word for God's people.
Thanks, Bruce.
Last week, I asked if you would to consider the line from the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." I asked you to imagine what the world would be like if one day you opened up your eyes to find that that prayer had become reality, that you were now living in the fullness of God's kingdom. From the prophet Isaiah and from the New Testament, we considered one quality of God's kingdom, and that is light. Jesus is God's light. And in his light, there is hope and there is life for all of us. When we are walking in God's light, we are no longer groping around in darkness. We are no longer looking for fulfillment. When we walk in God's light, we have life and we are fulfilled. But there is more. For you see, when God's kingdom comes, everything that is wrong will be made right. Isaiah tells us that a shoot will come from Jesse. Now, Jesse was King David's father. And for almost 400 years, a descendant of David had been king in Jerusalem. But after the Babylonian exile, there was never again a son of David who was king in Jerusalem. Now, this metaphorical statement about a shoot coming from Jesse was taken as a promise about a savior who would come, the Messiah who would come and restore Israel, and that he would come from David's line. We just read about what the promised Messiah would do, that with righteousness he will judge the needy, and with righteousness it will be his belt. Now, historically, Christians, we have seen these promises in this passage as a prophetic statement, and we understand it to be multi-layered. Jesus, the Messiah who lived on earth and who lived and acted in righteousness, started to fulfill the promise. But it will be complete when Jesus comes again. When God's kingdom comes in its fullness, there will be righteousness. There will be no consideration of others based on skin color, national origin, gender, or income. There will be no poor or dispossessed with someone holding them down. There will be no third world, no second world, no first world. And there will be no hot or cold wars between them. Humor has always been a good way of getting a point across. So I'm going to tell you two jokes this morning that have to do with justice, or some people might say fair play. First, one day a doctor, a farmer, and the president of a health insurance company all died and arrived at the pearly gate together. And St. Peter's there, but he's a little reluctant because, you see, heaven's starting to get filled up and overcrowded. So Peter goes over and talks to some of the other angels, and he comes back and he says to the doctor, "Okay, you may come in. You dedicated your life to taking care of the sick and the ill." He looked at the farmer, and he said to the farmer, "And you can come in. You raised food, and you helped to feed the poor and the hungry." And then St. Peter turned and looked at the president of the health insurance company, and he said, "Well, we're sorry, but your policy only allows you to be here for 3 days. Second joke. Very rich woman, an influential in her local church and community, dies one day and comes up to St. Peter at the pearly gates. And he just welcomes her in. This is before the other three had shown up. Heaven still had room. And he says to her, "I want to take you on a little tour so you can see what's going on around here." And as they're walking along, they come to this big, beautiful mansion. And Peter says to her, "See that mansion? That's where your former chauffeur now lives." And the woman is just blown away that someone like him would get something that grand. And she starts to wonder, "What will I have?" And they walk on some more, and they see even bigger and fancier mansions. And there's this one big, beautiful castle-like one. And Peter says, "That's where your former maid now lives." And she is getting so excited. She figures that if her servants had gotten places like that, she could just imagine what she was going to get. So Peter takes her and walks her around in back of the maid's mansion and leads her over to this little rundown shack and points to it and says, "Ma'am, here is your eternal home." And she is just outraged that they're giving her this shack. And he looks at her and he says, "Ma'am, we can only work with what you send us." Probably should have used that one during stewardship time, I know, but those jokes illustrate the longing that we do have for a just world, for a righteous world. However, when God's kingdom comes, it will not be like the heaven that gets portrayed in those jokes. Rather, God's kingdom will be filled with those people who understand what John the Baptist was calling for when he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is near." When God's kingdom comes, all things will be made right. That's what righteousness means, living in the right ways of God. The psalmist raised a question and answered it. "Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in God's holy place?" And the answer is, "The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol." Repenting means turning from living life our way, and we start to live in the ways of God, the way that God wants us to live. We work for justice. We love mercy. We are seeking to be humble. We live in peace. And we are compassionate. And we have been told that those are the ways that God's people are to live. Consider what Jesus taught us. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." When we repent, when we stop living our way and we start living the Jesus way, that is what we seek to live and to work for. The prophet Isaiah gives us this beautiful word picture of what God's kingdom will be like. Listen again to what we read. "The wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together." Now, in our current age, that is not what's happening. The wolf is a hunter and the lamb is its prey. But we are told that when God's kingdom comes, it will be a peaceable kingdom. And as followers of Jesus, we live in anticipation of the kingdom's coming. So today, we seek to live by those kingdom values. And we work to establish pockets of the kingdom in the world around us. But I would ask you to think about the world as it is today. That the reality of our world is we are not living by the kingdom's values. If you want to see the darkness, if you want to see the sinfulness of humanity, then just look at how we treat those who cannot take care of themselves. If anything is unjust in this world, it is the way our children suffer. Children around the world are victims of hunger, war, poverty, and abuse. They have no choice in the matter. They are the weakest and the most vulnerable. The Taliban in Afghanistan, since they have come back into power, have denied basic education to girls simply because of their sex. They continue to beat and maim them for religious infractions. There are children throughout Africa who have been crippled by being forced to be soldiers in the wars that have raged in that part of the world. And God's heart must break for what we do to our children. Just think of what Jesus said about children. I'm reading here from the Message translation. "Whoever becomes simple and elemental again, like this child, will rank high in God's kingdom. What's more, when you receive the childlike on my account, it's the same thing as receiving me. But if you give them a hard time, bullying or taking advantage of their simple trust, you'll soon wish you hadn't. You'd be better off dropped in the middle of the sea with a millstone around your neck. We need to be aware of something. It's just not other countries that are acting in unrighteous ways towards their children. Did you know, and this is according to the U.S. Census, in 2020, 17% of all children in our country, that's 12 million, live in poverty. We're talking about the richest nation in the history of the world, and there are millions of children living here in poverty. But in addition to them living in poverty, we as a nation are benefiting from their labor. As I was doing this research, it surprised me. It is estimated that there are 500,000 children in the United States between the ages of 12 to 17 working on farms harvesting crops. And I'm not talking about family farms. These are corporate farms. Friends, God grieved so much for the children of this world that the Son of God came to be present with us in this broken world, to bring us a message of hope and peace, and it is all personified in Jesus. That is what we remember, and that is what we celebrate at Christmas time. Just think about how God came to us. Born a baby, laid to sleep in an animal's feed trough, the Son of God comes to us as a vulnerable, defenseless baby. He grows up in a country that is under military occupation. As an adult, he is rejected by the leaders of his religion. He is put to death by the most powerful nation in the world at its time. Why? Because he proclaimed the good news of God's kingdom, a kingdom of mercy and compassion, of justice and humility. Do you realize how threatening that is to the ways of the world? James Harnish, in his book, Do You Believe the Angels?, challenges us to think about the place where Jesus was born. This is what he wrote. The manger is a very small place. There isn't room in there for all the baggage we carry around with us. There's no room at the manger for our pride and self-righteousness. There's no room at the manger for our human power and prestige. There's no room at the manger for our prejudice and bigotry. There's no room for bitterness and greed. There's no room at the manger for anything other than the absolute reality of who and what we really are. Very human, very fragile, very vulnerable human beings who desperately need the gift of love and grace, which God so powerfully desires to give. Brothers and sisters, we have gathered for worship, not to just hope for the kingdom of God to come. We have gathered to worship, not to just pray for the kingdom of God to come. We have gathered for worship, not to just sing about when the kingdom of God comes. We have come here as the representatives of God's kingdom, which broke into our world when Jesus was born. We have gathered here today to be empowered and to be renewed, to take the light of Christ out into the world and to live for and to work for the righteousness of God's kingdom. Amen. I'm going to ask if you would please stand. We're going to sing, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name.
And now, go into the world, taking the light of Christ and working for the righteousness and the justice of God's kingdom, showing love to those who are in need. Go now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to the 10 a.m. service from the Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in the village of Avon. We hope that you have experienced the love of Jesus Christ during your time with us. We invite you to join us on the air weekly at 7:30 a.m. Sundays or in person at 10 a.m. Please visit us on the web at avonnyumc.org or call us at 226-8600. May God richly bless you.